All right, we're good to go. All right, so this morning, I'm going to do something a little unorthodox. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about worry. Okay, worry. And I know that's, for a lot of us, that is, that's a huge thing. But I'm also going to move in later on, I'm going to move into finances and stuff like that, about worry and that. And I want you to just bear with me, because it may get a little bit, I've got a lot of scripture to go through to prove what I really want to tell you this morning, okay? Okay, so first off, we're going to start off with, what do you think is the most disobeyed verse in the Bible? If you really had to pick one, what would you think the most disobeyed verse in the Bible? Now, most disobeyed, there's a lot of them. I'm sure we disobey a lot. Good, good. That's good, yep. Casting your cares. Amen. But I think one of, and those are all good, but I think one of them that we could probably use is one that also happens to be the most commonly quoted verses. It's on t-shirts, it's on coffee mugs, and it's Proverbs 3:5. And Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now, we're going to talk about worry today, and I think that's a big part of it, is we spend too much time leaning on our own understanding, and we're not trusting in the Lord. Amen? I mean, it's just part of it. So I think back to a time to where, wouldn't it be awesome if we worried as much as we did when we were children, when we were little kids? Now think about that. What do we really have to worry about? Now we have today, we have worries, things in our life that come against us that we really shouldn't be worrying about, but we do because we're human. We're flesh, and we're going to have those worries. But as a child, we didn't worry about a whole lot. I mean, we ran, we played, we went to school. I mean, I'm sure there were small worries that we had. But we didn't have to worry about the things that we worry about today. Like we click on any news and what do we got? I mean, any news and we see war. We see political unrest. We see the Kardashians did this or the Kardashians did that. We see, just a lot of economic uncertainty in a lot of ways. Or maybe for you, it's maybe aging parents. Or maybe it's a doctor thing that you're going to, that you're concerned about or you're worried about. Or are my kids safe? You know, those are huge. Are my kids safe? And I worry about that now. My kids are grown. I still worry about it. I mean, you're never going to stop worrying about your kids. But we put all that in God's hand, I know. But and we go even further into it. We go one step further as to, am I going to be able to make that bill, right? Am I going to have enough money to actually, are they going to repossess my car? Are they going to foreclose on my house? There are a lot of people that have those type of worries. And those are huge worries because you don't know what the next day is going to bring. When you get into those type of worries, you really don't know what you're going to do the next day. But there's an answer for it. Now, I'll be very honest with you. I have, ever since the time I can remember, and I think I've told you this before, I've always worried about finances. Always, I can't make enough. I can't do enough to make enough. And it seems like every time I turn around, something is going wrong. So then that just puts you down into, oh my gosh. You know, you get into that worry stage again. And I have a lot of wants. Believe me, I want that brand new razor. I want that brand new bass boat. I want that brand new house. I want. I do have a lot of those things, but at this time in my life, I don't have the finances to afford all that stuff. So I have to be very careful and very smart. But we need to understand that mine's finances, yours may be something else you worry about. But I've given all that to God. I mean, I've done that, and I want you to understand that. It's still... Every once in a while, that enemy comes in, and that's kind of what we're going to talk about, how to stop the enemy from actually stepping into your finances, your life, personal life, everything that you deal with in life. We're gonna kind of look at some things on how to defend that, okay? And the scriptures with that. So what we worry about most often, it reveals where we trust God the least. What we worry about most often reveals where we trust God the least. And it's got to be very true, because if we trust God, we shouldn't be worrying about it, right? Jesus says this to us in Matthew 6:25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than the clothes? Therefore I tell you, and what does Jesus says? Do not what? Do not worry. And that's a huge one there. Jesus says, do not worry about your life. Pretty straightforward. A few verses later, he also says this: can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? No. Very tough for us to understand, isn't it? I mean, we worry about those things, and it's not going to change a thing. We cannot change it by sitting and worrying. Does anybody know who Corrie Ten Boom is? Have you ever heard that name? Corrie Ten Boom? Good. Corrie Ten Boom wrote a book called The Hiding Place. She was a watchmaker, and she helped with a bunch during the Nazi era. She helped get a bunch of the Jewish people out. And this is, she was born in 15 April 8, 1983, was a Dutch watchmaker and later a Christian writer, public speaker, who worked with her father, Casper Ten Boom, her sister, Betsy Ten Boom, and other family members. They were Jewish people escaped from the Nazis during the Holocaust and World War II by hiding them in her home. They were caught and she was arrested and sent to the Ravensbrück concentration camp. Her most famous book, The Hiding Place, is a biography that recounts the story of her family's efforts and how she found and shared hope in God while she was imprisoned at the concentration camp. Now, I just wish that I had half the that she does. But what she says, and I use that because she has some quotes here. She says, worry doesn't empty tomorrow of its strength. It empties today of its strength. So it doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but it empties today of its strength. Now, we all have experienced that feeling, and I'm sure living without worry sounds pretty good. I would love to go through a day without living without worry, but we first have to answer one question. And in order to do that, I have to go back a little bit. We're going to go back to the beginning, okay? And this is where it pretty much all starts, is back at the beginning. So we'll go back into Genesis. And God created Adam, right? And God had gave him one rule. And everybody knows what that one rule was. You can eat anywhere in the garden. You can eat of any tree except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? Then he creates the animals. And then he creates Eve. Now Eve learns that rule from Adam. She learns from Adam that rule. And she is in the garden, and then a new character comes along. We all know this story, but I'm going to give it to you again. A new character shows up in Genesis 3, and that is a serpent. And begins to talk to Eve, and here's what he says. Here's what he says. And this is the first question ever. Did God really say? Did God really say you couldn't eat from the tree? So did God really say? That was the question. So he twisted the truth. The enemy twisted the truth. But what he did was introduce a question to Eve and then to Adam. Did God really say? Can you trust God? Is God trustworthy? That was the question that was put into their mind at that time. Is God really trustworthy? A few years later, Eve is in the garden and says that she looked at the tree and she saw that it was good to eat and pleasing to the eye. And it was desirable for gaining wisdom, and she had a choice to make. At that time, she had a choice to make. And just like we have a choice, when we make one of these thousands of decisions a day, we have choices to make. That choice is, am I going to trust God, or am I going to trust what I can see? Am I going to trust what I can touch? Am I going to trust what I can desire? Am I going to trust what I can control? All those things come to, can we trust God for each and every one of those? Is God trustworthy? Psalm 62, 7, 8. Psalms, thank you. Talks about God who is trustworthy, where he says, this is my salvation and honor, depend on whom? Whom do we depend on? My salvation, my honor, depend on God. We have to depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times. You people, pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. God is our refuge. He is mighty. He is my rock. Trust him at all times, not just with your eternity, not worries, your fears, pour them out to him. Because God is our refuge. God is trustworthy. He's trustworthy in our finances. He's trustworthy in our life. He's trustworthy in anything and everything that we do. God is trustworthy in all. What you worry about most reveals where you trust God the least. God will provide. I could just stop right there, because that's quite a lot. But I'm not going to. I'm not going to. Jesse and I have been reading a book, a very small book, and I had all the scriptures, and I forgot to grab those, babe. All the copies. I forgot to grab those. Yeah. Sorry. We'll get them next time. It says, do not tolerate worry. And the small book is very small, and I'm going to read some passages out of it. Very small, very easy to read. It's free. And it says, God will provide. It's by Travis Lee Peters. We both read through it. We both looked at the scriptures. And I just want to touch a little bit on what he has to say, which is the truth for all of it. Thanks to what God has provided for us and what Jesus did on the cross, Christians no longer need to live under the demonic forces of financial pressure. They don't need to worry or have anxiety for even one moment. And that's very true. We do not. Though his scripture promises, God has provided for us a strategy so we never have to worry about money or the lack thereof ever again. Do not tolerate worry in your life for any longer. Now, we all know Satan has kept Christians down, distracted, and discouraged. That's what he does. And if you don't know that, you're going to learn something, because that is what he does. That's his major thing. He wants to keep you distracted so that you cannot fulfill what God has for you in this time, right? Those things that he does is not of God, and they do not belong in a Christian life. None of it belongs in the Christian life. Satan will throw troubles at you. He's going to throw trials at your way. But we don't have to let him. So first off, as a Christian, one of the most important abilities you could ever acquire is the ability to not be phased, shaken, discouraged, or distracted by financial pressures. This is going to talk mostly about finances. And it's one that I feel deeply, so I'm going to give it to you. Satan is going to continually throw fear-based thoughts at you regarding your finances at every stage and level. Whether you have little, just enough, a lot, if you're rich, you can count Satan is going to try to get you to place fear in some way, shape, or form. He's going to try everything he can. When you don't have much money, what he's going to do is sound like this. This is never going to work. You're going to completely run out of money. What are you thinking? You're so bad with money. You've been a horrible steward. No wonder God can't bless you. Or maybe you're going to run out of money. It just keeps dwindling and all. You're going to have to sell your house. You're going to have to move back in with your parents. You guys that are young, I ain't moving back in with my parents. They're going to take everything with them. they're going to take everything. You're such a pathetic loser. You can't even take care of your family. Now, these are the things that the enemy continues to pound on people, continues to pound on you. And when you have, when you actually have that abundance, and you've been very prosperous, and you've been very, very blessed, Satan will tell you that you're getting prideful and arrogant because you have too much. He'll throw the tired old lines at you that he throws at every Christian. You don't want too much money or you'll become greedy. Now, I know this stuff for some people. I can see it in your eyes. Whenever we start talking in church about money, it gets really difficult. That's what I was telling you. I'm going to get into it today, and you may not feel good about it.
Better you than me.
Yes, that's why I'm doing it. Too much money, stop trusting God and become prideful. The market is going to turn you, and you're going to lose all your investments. It's all in the news. It's just a matter of time now. You've gotten greedy. He's relentless. He doesn't stop. He doesn't stop. And he keeps coming at you, and he continually tries to torment you. He just changes up his tactics. That's all he does. He does it every day, and the angel's trying to take you out any way he can. It doesn't matter if you're poor, if you're middle class, if you're rich, he's going to do it one way or another. He's coming after you, especially if you're a child of God. He's going to take you out. He's going to try. Let's put it that. He won't do it. He will not succeed. He's relentless. He wants you distraught, distracted, and he wants you discouraged. He wants to keep you from what you are to be doing. He knows the best ways to get to a person, especially a Christian, is to get them thinking unscripturally about money. Unscripturally. Get you thinking that you're in a bad spot financially. Trick you into thinking God is punishing you. Have I ever felt that way? God punished me? I hope you don't, because God never is. He's not punishing you. That's the enemy that punishes, not God. God loves. God does not punish. He loves. And again in Romans 8, hey, he just gave that to me this morning, tells us that if we are in Christ, then there could be no condemnation. None. There could be no condemnation for any of us. We must align. We must align with what we believe and what the scriptures actually say. And if you will read the word, the scriptures, and Satan can't win. He cannot win. Psalms, I'm going to read the scriptures to you. Psalms 35:27 says, let them shout for joy. Now, what God actually wants for his children regarding their finances, this is not a comprehensive list, but what he wants is this. Psalms 35:27 says, let them shout for joy and rejoice who favor my vindication and want what is right for me. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who delights and takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Takes delight. Your Heavenly Father takes delight in your prosperity. He wants you to be prosperous. He really does. And what we do is we pull ourselves down. He wants to prosper. Now, the enemy does not want us to prosper. He wants to keep us low and down and in need all the time. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, Jesus even took your poverty on himself so that you don't have to. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, though through his poverty, might become rich. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. These are all prosperity. This is to give you what you ask for. And he wants to give you what you ask for. He wants to give you your needs. And I'll tell you, that's tough for me. Praise God. I struggle with that more. Why would God want to give me, that person that's done all those bad things in the past? I've had all that condemnation. I know what condemnation is. I've had it all. I've done all those things. Why would he want to prosper me? I'm not a good person, or haven't been a good person. I am now. Because I have, you know, I've asked Jesus in my heart. I've been saved. I'm a child of God. So what would any dad want for their children? What would they want? They want them to prosper. They want them to have everything and anything that they could possibly have, you know, without spoiling them. I know our Father doesn't want to spoil us, that's for sure, but the one thing that happens is we get to that point, and especially me, and I'm going to go a little personal here, but what we do is I do. I won't put this off on you because I don't know what you guys do, but what I do is transmission goes out in a car. Oh, what am I going to do now? Instead of praying for it, instead of putting it in God's hands, I just cannot believe that God can do anything with it at that point. I know we can. But when that time comes across, when you get into those moments to where the enemy comes in and just pounds you upside the head, that's when you need to give it to God. That's when you need to pull it out there and say, God, I know that your hand is on this. It's going to be all right. It's not going to tear me down. It's not going to break me down. It's not going to take me away. We're going to get through this with you. Amen? So that's what we need to do. Prosperity. Yes. I'm going to be very prosperous. It may not be today. I already am. I mean, if you look at the country, if you look at a lot of the people who are homeless, think about how special we are. We have homes. We have cars. We have money in the bank. We're able to pay our bills. Some of it may be paycheck to paycheck, and some of it, you know, may be more prosperous than that. But it doesn't matter what it is. You are very blessed in everything that you have and everything that you do. And I think of that every time that one of those things comes along. You know what? I saw recently where they're trying to pass a bill in some places in California, to where they're actually going to push out the homeless, that they're going to push them off, get them out of their counties. So each county is going to pass their little law that says, We no longer want the homeless in our areas. And that's coming from a lot of the rich people. That's coming from a lot of the liberal. I don't get into politics much. I'm sorry. I don't do that. You all can do that. But it is coming from that side of it. It's coming from that side. They want it out. They want their gates. They want their walls. They want to keep all those people out because they're not people. Yeah, they're greedy. It's greed. 100% greed. And they're trying to keep out those homeless people. But in saying that, those are homeless people. Those are people that have nothing. And we are very blessed, very prosperous with everything that we do. We're very prosperous. There's three things. I want to get into this. I got off kind of off. According to this book, there's three steps. Three steps. And it's very true. And I read through it, and I read it again, and I read it again. And it says, James 4:7 tells us what to do. He says, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay? All those things that we deal with is the enemy. If we submit to God, and we give it all to God, everything, and we resist that voice or those things that he's telling us, then he will flee. The devil will flee. He'll leave, and you won't hear that anymore. Those are the three things. The truth is just like gravity. It always works. It always works. Here's the deal. If you do steps one and two, if you do steps one and two, the result will be step three. The devil has to leave. The word submit means to yield to one's person to the power of another. That's what submit means. Praise God. Now, I submit to God a long time ago. And I submit to God daily because I have to. Because I'm a sinner. And I've still got those worldly ways. I've still got, not like I used to. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. But I get those thoughts. I get those, it's man, we have a sinful nature. Okay. Now I'm a lot better than I used to be. You know, say the wrong words when somebody passes me on the highway and I'm, you know, I kind of get into those. Chastity does it more than me. Chastity does it more than me. She's an angry driver. I'm not. She's an angry driver. I will tell you stories, but I don't want to right now. No. But we are human. We are human. And you have to submit to God daily. And that's, you know, those are the things that I am so, so thankful that Jesus is my Savior. I'm so thankful that He came in and took all that stuff that used to be problem. All that stuff, you know, that you can go through life and in your history and the things that you used to be and totally see that there's a change. There's a change in me for 100%. There's a change in all of us. We've all had to make those changes. We've all had to ask Jesus into our life and you know, let that Holy Spirit speak to us. Let Him run our life. Let Him move in us. And that's the thing. I try to do that daily. Now, I want to tell you that there's... when you have something in your life, you have something in your life that is far beyond what you can control, and I understand it. It's hard to get rid of. And it's a sin, and you know it is. But that sin just keeps coming back and you keep rehashing, you keep going back into that lifestyle. And it may be you may be walking great, you may be moving along at a steady pace, and then all of a sudden, boom, here you are back again. I know for 100% that God loves me. And I don't want you, that was the whole thing today. I don't want you to condemn yourself. Because if that condemnation comes in, you lose everything. If you let it dwell, if you dwell on it, I'm telling you, I've been there many times. I've walked away from it. I've walked away from God. I've walked away from the Holy Spirit. I've walked away from everything. I've walked away from the church. God always seems to find me. He always seems to bring me back. Yeah, praise God, that's right. And each and every one of you may not have those type of situations. You may have something totally different. You know, there's a lot of things in every one of our lives that it's totally different. You're all different than me. Your lifestyle, your past may not be what mine was. But we got to remember, that's a past. That's not the new thing. And I want you to understand that. Yes. It does not define us. And it will no longer define us. You may have old friends that may come back around and say, I remember you. Yeah, we used to close down the bar together. I did. Yeah, I'm not that way anymore. I don't do those things anymore. But praise God. And that's what I want to say. Prosperous today. I wanted to talk on prosperity because I knew that it's very difficult for you to do that. On money. I'm just a normal person. And I fight over money all the time. I feel what each and every one of you are feeling and have felt it in the past. I know what living paycheck to paycheck is. I know what wondering if my car is going to be repossessed. I know it very well. I've had one repossessed. Be honest. I know what it's all about. And so does God. He knows. So we need to trust in Him even further than anyone else. He is trustworthy. What we worry about the most often reveals where we trust God the least. And I want to leave you with that. Amen? Everybody good? Nobody hate me, right? Good. Praise God. Thank you very much.